its music to repeat. It makes my joys full and complete.
The precious
name of Jesus. It never fails my heart to cheer. Its music dries the fallen tear.
I love the
name of Jesus.
Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. God set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Those are two verses from the Bible from which you get my subject, the name above every name. Of all the names that have been uttered by human tongues, the name of Jesus enjoys unrivaled preeminence. Joseph did not give Jesus his name. Mary did not give Jesus his name. Nor did any archangel give Jesus his name. Nor did any ruler upon this earth give Jesus his name. God himself gave Jesus his name. And a man's title is regulated by the dignity of the source from which it is derived, and by the eminent quality it possesses, and by the fidelity with which the bearer of that title illustrates those qualities by his words, his life, and his actions. None but God, the Most High, had an adequate conception of the mighty works that Jesus was to perform, the life that he was to live, the truth that he was to propagate, and the death that he was to die. And consequently, no one but God was capable of bestowing on him a designation corresponding with his divine mission to mankind. Now, you can match every name that this world has ever had with one just about as great. Homer of the Greeks was great, but you can match his name with Virgil, who was just as great. Demosthenes, the silver-tongued orator of Greece, can be matched by Cicero, the Roman orator. Edmund Burke, whose speech withered all the flowers of hope in Warren Hastings' garden, can be matched by Henry Grady of Georgia and by William Jennings Bryan, whose words were flights of golden arrows. And Dante, who listened in hell's inferno to the moans and groans of the dying, is not one step ahead of Milton, whose ears were attuned to the hallelujah choruses of the archangels of heaven. And Shakespeare, from whose pen dramas and poems drop like golden pollen from the stems of shaken lilies, has his place disputed by Bacon, who had one of the greatest minds and intellects of the centuries. Tennyson, with his Crossing the Bar, has a high place, but he's equaled by Longfellow with his Psalm of Life. And then we think of Scotland, who raised up her voice in praise to Walter Scott, but also to Robert Burns, in whose pen the sobbing of archangels and the weeping of broken hearts seem to be, along with the music of nightingales. Among preachers, Wesley, whose prescription for good health was a little more work, stands in equal splendor with Jonathan Edwards and Whitfield, who won thousands to faith in the Lord Jesus. Spurgeon was great, but equally great was Carroll, the theological juggernaut. Henry Ward Beecher let all the bells in his belfry ring for the gospel cause and for Christ, but he was equaled by John A. Broadus, who was kept on double duty as preacher and teacher for half a century. Alexander conquers the world, and so does Caesar. Napoleon was a great general, but he was defeated by Wellington at Waterloo. You may put side by side in our thinking and in the world's history Plato and Socrates, Peter and Paul, Savonarola and Chrysostom, Oliver Cromwell and Pitt, Lincoln and Lee, Beethoven and Mendelssohn, Angelo and Millay, and Florence Nightingale, and Henry Ederhal Schuck, and Francis Willard. You can put in the world of humor side by side Mark Twain and Irvin Cobb, and in the temperance realm, John Guff and Sam Jones, and in the realm of the air, Lindbergh and Wiley Post and others. But there's no name so great. And among mortal man is the history of the world, but that it has been equaled by some other name of somebody else just as great. But when we mention Jesus, there's no one to stand beside him, no one to weigh equally on God's scales with him, no one to measure as tall by God's measuring rod as did Jesus. He stands alone, august, unique, supreme, and he is forever the great unlike, and his name is above every name, and with him no mortal can compare among the sons of men. And when we come to think of his name, we must not forget that it is a marvelously inclusive name. And when you look at a vast expanse of a star-strewn sky, you can see many stars, one star differing from another star in glory. But when you look at the name of Jesus, it's a gloriously inclusive name, and I suppose not one name goes beyond the other in glory when you fully analyze it. His is a name harmonious in infinite complexity, the sum of all solution and paradoxes, the origin and end of all mystery, the reason and explanation of all enigmas, all expressing different attributes and setting forth different truths of his nature, his life, his love, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his intercession at the Father's right hand, and his promised return to dwell upon this earth in glorious reign for 1,000 years. Now, Jesus, being the effulgence of God's glory and the express image of his person, the creator and upholder of all things, possesses a deity that's not denied, nor bestowed, nor transmitted. And he has a name which has and holds forever a beauty inimitable in variety, proportion, profession, profusion, perfection, and power. Now let's notice the names in this name that shall be called Wonderful. And we see how wonderful it is when you see about 300 names that Jesus has given in this blessed book. Jesus is Adam, Advocate, the Anointed, the Apostle, the Author, the Alpha, the Amen, the Ancient of Days, Become a Child, and the Almighty, All in All, the Above All. He is the Beginning, the Begotten, the Beloved, the Branch, the Bread, the Bridegroom, the Bright and Morning Star, the Bishop of our souls, Brother, Brightness of the Father's Mercy, Bundle of Myrrh, Builder, and the Balm of Gilead. He's a cluster of camphor. He's Captain, Consolation, Chief Cornerstone, Counselor, Covenant, the Chosen of God, Christ, Creator, the Corn of Wheat, of whose death we are the fruit. He is the Day's Man, the Deliverer, the Day Spring, the Day Star, the Door, the Desire of all nations, the Diadem of Beauty, David's Lord, David's Son, Deity made flesh. He's the Elect, the Ensign, the Everlasting, the Emmanuel. He's the Finisher of our faith. He's a forerunner. He's a friend. He's the first fruits. He's a faithful witness. He's the fountain of life issuing from the cave of death. He is God, the gift of God, guide, governor, glorious Lord. He is help, hope, husband, horn of salvation, hearer, the head of the church. He's the heir of all things. He's high priest. He's hell's dread. He's heaven's wonder. The holy, only holy, absolutely holy one. He is I am. He's the inheritance. He's the image of God's person. He's immortal. He's invisible. He is the incarnation of God in human flesh. He's Judah and Judge and the Just One and Jesus and Jehovah. He's King. King of Israel, King of Kings, King of Glory, King Everlasting. He's the Life, the Light, He's Love, the Lily, the Lion, the Lamb, the Lawgiver, the Living Stone, the Lord of Glory. He's a Messenger, He's a Mediator, He's a Master, He's a Messiah, He's a Mighty God, He's Mercy's Paradox. He's a Nazarene. He's the offspring of David. He's the Omega. He's the only begotten of God. He's the offering. He is the offerer. He's priest and Passover and potentate and prophet and propitiation and prince of life, prince of peace and physician, the greatest of all physicians. He's the righteous. He's the rabbi. He's ransom. He's rest. He's the root of Jesse. He's the root of David. He's the refiner. He's the refuge. He's the resurrection. He's the rose of Sharon, clothing the crater of damnation with the foliage and fruit and flowers of God's love. He's Redeemer. He's the Rock of Ages. He's the refuge. He's ruler. He is the regenerate breath, rekindling the dead fires on the soul's altar and restoring the broken strings of the spirit's silent harp, turning them into heaven's harmony. He's the stone, the shepherd, Son of God, Son of Man, shield, servant, seed of the woman, surety, suffering, Savior, sinless sacrifice, the same, yes, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He's Shiloh, he's sanctification, he's sanctuary, he's teacher, he's truth, he's a tabernacle, he's a testator, he's treasure, he's a tree of life. He's the uplifted one, uplifted on the cross. He's the uplifter of mankind. He's the virgin born. He's the vine. He's the witness. He's the word. He's the way. He's the wisdom of God. He's the wonderful in all things, through all ages. He's the lovely and mighty Christ, beyond all comprehension of the finite mind. His is the sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. And then when we think of his name, we must not forget that it's a name of absolute purity. There have been and are many great names in human history, names representative of much that was worthy and commendable. But there has never appeared a name on any page of all the pages of all the histories of all the centuries that represents so much, and that is a name without spot or without stain, without any besmirchment, like the name of Jesus. He wore the white flower of a sinless life in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. Noah of old feared God and was a preacher of righteousness and blessed men. But there's a chapter in his life we wish it had not been necessary to write, but the Bible is always fair and honest, and it writes ugly about people as well as beautiful. Abraham was the Matterhorn of biblical humanity, but though he was called a friend of God, there was one tragic hour when he failed God. Jacob, though he dreamed of angels and knew how to love strongly, was guilty of trickery. And Moses, magnificent and mighty, in whom humanity had a Himalayan peak, stained his hands with the blood, on one occasion the blood of an Egyptian, and displeased God. David was a man after God's own heart, and yet there's a black chapter, two black chapters in his history, and his name is not at all untarnished. Elijah, who called an apostate nation back to God, has a life chapter where there's a paragraph you could entitle A Despondent Cowardice. John the Baptist, the path preparer for Jesus, had a page in his life's book stained with question marks and doubts when he said, Art thou he who should come? Or shall we look for another? Peter and Paul were outstanding leaders of God's people, but they had great defects. Always, everywhere, among all men, every man has some sort of stain, but not Jesus. In the pages of secular history, you'll find among many men many illustrious names, men who have been famous in that day, and in succeeding generations for their great accomplishments. But you'll find nowhere any name that is not stained by some wrong. But who can find fault with Jesus? Who convinces us of sin in his life? Nobody can. Who can find any fault with him? His name is synonymous of all that is pure and lovely and honest and true and holy and of good report. Among all his enemies, he has been acclaimed as spotless, and the verdict of Pilate, I find no fault in him, has not been reversed by humanity when he said, I find no fault in him. Jesus was always so finely strung, so unutterably keyed to truth, to mercy, to righteousness, and to justice, and so quickly felt the sorrow, the sympathy, and the indignation which wrong and injustice invariably elicit from all high souls. And circumstances never left any fingerprints upon him, and popularity never caused him to hurry the least bit, and enmities and antagonisms never caused him to be cowardly one second. And never did the devil and the world and the flesh loosen one moral fiber with all the attacks that were made upon him. He's absolutely the bright sun without spot throughout all the ages before the world was, and that shall be when this little world is no more. But I think with what I might say about the name of Jesus as the name of power, it would be best for me if I should close my message with talking to you about his name being called Jesus. That's his human name. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so the name of Jesus signifies Savior. And in the name of Jesus is the sweet, concentrated essence of all the flowers of paradise, and they have perfumed the stifling atmosphere of all the continents. And his name is like all anthems, poured forth in one great glorious anthem without any discord, without any marring, without any scarring of a musical voice or note. His name is the one that sounds down the corridors of the centuries like the music of all choirs, as I said, poured forth in one glorious, undiscordant anthem. Blessed name of Jesus. Sweetest name on mortal tongue. Greatest name that man has ever sung. And upon his name hangs our every hope. And in his name we come to the recognition that redemption comes through his holy name. Jesus knew that redemption was something for which a great price must be paid. And he paid for it in the crimson cash of his own sinless blood. And Jesus undertook the most difficult of all tasks. Jesus saw that men could never be free until their debts were paid. And so he came and paid men's sin debts. He saw that life could never be what it ought to be until sin had been dealt with. And he came and at the cross accomplished the world's redemption and paid our sin debt. And it isn't any light thing, though we may sing it lightly in our hearts when we sing, Jesus paid it all. He paid all our sin debt, not some of it, not most of it, not part of it. Not 99.48% of it, but all of it. And if we have to pay any of our sin debt, that makes us co-redeemers with Jesus Christ, which is an absurdity that pleases the devil and displeases God. And when Jesus paid our sin debt upon the cross, and we put our trust in him, God is just and never demands two payments for one debt. The man from whom you brought your car cannot demand that you pay for it twice. The jeweler from whom you bought a ring cannot by law demand that you pay for that ring twice. The carpenter you paid for a day's work cannot demand that you pay him twice for that day's work. Jesus paid it all. And since he paid all our sin debt, and we don't have any of it to pay, when with repentance toward God and trust in him, we accept him as our Savior. And so that's one thing that makes us to say that the name of Jesus is like honey to the mouth, like music to the ear, like gladness to the heart, and like great health to the body. Oh, what a wonderful name his is. And you know what makes his name so great? The Bible tells us he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, that is because of the cross, God hath also highly exalted him and hath given him a name which is above every name. And without the cross as an experience in the life of Jesus, his name could never have been exalted above all principality and dominion and authorities and powers and of every name that has been mentioned in heaven and in this world and in the world that is to come. Oh, on that cross by which his name has been so highly exalted, he became for us everything that God must judge, that we through faith in him might become everything that God cannot judge. And when the names of earth's benefactors are no more remembered, and when the achievements of science are of no longer of any value, and when the meditations of philosophers are all in vain, when time shall be no more, multitudes in praise of him and in gratitude for salvation through his name will still sing the song of Moses and the Lamb and of that enduring name. Precious name, oh, how sweet. And listen, there never has been a guilty conscience that name will not relieve. There never has been a temptation that name will not overcome. There never has been a joy that name will not make sweeter. There never has been a bereavement that name will not sanctify. There never has been a sorrow that name will not assuage. There never has been a broken heart that name will not heal. There never has been a burden that name will not lighten. There never has been a dark road that name will not brighten. There never has been a fear of death that name will not chase away. And listen, if you have never spoken that name in faith, if you have never known that name, if you have never known it, and if you have known it and have forgotten it and allowed the meaning of it to go out of your life, then you're poor indeed, and more poor than any words of mine could ever describe. The name of Jesus means Savior, and I want to read you just a verse or two what the Bible says here. Listen to it, Acts 10:43. Listen very carefully. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall have remission of sins. That's Acts 10:43. Then turn to Acts 4 and this wonderful 12th verse. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Then turn to John 20:30-31. And many signs, other signs, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And then turn to John 1:10-12. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And you shall be without excuse if you leave this building today without salvation, since you've heard those four verses that teach us, words that can never be diminished in their richness and their power. And we have salvation through his name. And God hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want to ask you a question. If you're unsaved today, don't you realize that you're the burglar of your own life, that you're the murderer of your own soul? And may I say this to you before we sing? The idiot who picks up a piece of straw and puts it on his head and calls it a crown, or picks up a crooked stick and puts it in his hand and calls it a scepter, or picks up some dirty gravel from the roadway and calls them diamonds, is not a bit more beside himself And the person here this morning, or anywhere where you hear my voice this morning, who says no to Jesus Christ, who paid our sin debt upon Calvary's cross. Did you get what I'm saying? With all the earnestness of my soul, I say that the idiot who picks up a bunch of straw and puts it on his head and calls it a crown, or a crooked stick and calls it a scepter, or pebbles and calls them pearls and diamonds, is not a bit crazier than the man or woman, the boy or girl, who says no to God's plan of salvation through Christ Jesus and to the redemption that comes only through his name, but because there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now this morning, as we sing, I'd like to give this earnest, loving invitation as best I know how to give it. To you who have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, to make this the day and this a glorious hour, when you will be saved, and when your name shall be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Will you listen to that carefully, please? But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and believing have life through his name. And to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, believing in his name, you shall have remission of sins. And let this be the day when humbly, quietly, penitently, you say, today I take Christ as my Savior, and I say so to the world and to hell and to heaven and to this congregation. And if there are those here today who have not been honoring his name by your dilly-dallying about your obligation as members of a church, and you don't have a church home in our city, how glad we'd be to have you become a member here and join hands and hearts with us as we seek to serve the Lord. And if you're here today and you have not rededicated your life to him to make it way more and shine more and be more for him, do so today while we stand and sing number 359. Come and give me your hand. And sit down here at the front while we stand and while we sing. Let us stand.